We've been waiting to find out who the first name would be to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. It's getting kind of late, and we have not gotten any names announced yet until today. We now know who the first inductee will be into this year's class, and it will be the Wise Man. It will be Paul Heyman, entering the Hall of Fame in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center. It's being held after SmackDown the night before WrestleMania Night 1. This is a man in Paul Heyman who got his foot in the door as a photographer. He's making $50 working for Vince McMahon's father, snapping pictures at ringside at Madison Square Garden. And then it was on to managing, right? The Dangerous Alliance. Managed names like Steve Austin and Rick Rude and Arn Anderson. He managed The Undertaker for a time back during his Mean Mark Callis days. And then came promoting and transforming what was Eastern Championship Wrestling into Extreme Championship Wrestling. And they started a revolution. WWE and WCW copied directly from ECW during the Monday Night War period. And there are still ECW reunions to this day. Okay, you don't see WCW reunions. There's no WCW one-night stand to look back on. To this day, the legacy of ECW lives on almost 30 years later. And the thing about Paul Heyman is, when you think back on this man's career, if Paul Heyman's career had ended with the death of ECW, Paul Heyman would still be guaranteed a spot in the Hall of Fame. But his career did not end there. His career went on. He was a commentator. He was a writer on SmackDown. And he was an advocate, because he didn't like calling himself a manager. He goes, I'm not a manager, I'm an advocate. And he was an advocate for multiple world champions. We're talking about Brock Lesnar. We're talking about Big Show. We're talking about Kurt Angle. We're talking about CM Punk. And Roman Reigns. So photographer, manager, promoter, commentator, writer, wise man. The man has done it all. He has covered all the bases. And he has earned his rightful place in the Hall of Fame. Philadelphia, of course, being the birthplace of Extreme, makes it the perfect spot for it to happen. The only question now is, who inducts him? Who's going to induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame? That's really the only question left to answer. I think CM Punk would be the perfect person for it. And if not Punk, you know, if they wanted to go with an ECW personality, yeah, you got two of them that are on Busted Open every single week. I mean, I would say go with Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. Let them split the duties, right? They could do a split induction. You could double team on the speech together. Or, you know, maybe they're going to let Paul Heyman make the decision. But Heyman going into the Hall of Fame in Philadelphia is a no-brainer. I don't think anybody would argue that point. This is your Monday Night Raw review. It is March 4th, 2024. I was going to say May the 4th be with you. I guess we're a little early for that, though. That's May 4th. This is March 4th. I'm a little delirious because I'm literally going on 2 hours of sleep, so you'll have to excuse me. I did contemplate whether or not it would be worth it to even come on here tonight to talk about this show. That Revolution pay-per-view did me in last night. Didn't get to bed until after 4 a.m. I just couldn't fall asleep. And then I had to wake up at 6:30 to go to the mechanic for what I thought foolishly was going to be a simple oil change and then having them check something. And that turned into a $900 bill. So I have not had a very happy day. And then I had to leave the car, so I couldn't even come home and go back to bed. I couldn't even take a nap because they said, we'll call you when the car is ready, so I had to stay up. And so I've been up all day, and so here I am. But now I get to spend time with you, so hopefully I can at least end my day on a happy note. But yeah, I'm not very happy right now. Not about this show, though. I thought Raw tonight was a decent show. Some dull spots, some bright spots. This was hardly a loaded lineup tonight. But what it did do a good job of is it set the table for what is going to be a very big episode of SmackDown on Friday. Because The Rock is going to be on SmackDown this week. They're sold out in Dallas. We'll get, for the first time since Las Vegas, We'll have The Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins all together at the same time. So that's coming up on Friday. And also, they have promoted a big match for Raw next Monday. They're going to be in Houston. So they're sticking. I mean, they're in San Antonio tonight. I believe it's Dallas on Friday. And then Houston next Monday. So they're making the loop in the Lone Star State. And there's a big match set up for TV next week that is going to have big implications for who Gunther defends the Intercontinental title against at WrestleMania. They're doing it next week. They're not saving it for WrestleMania Night 1. We're getting a certain match on TV next week. And we will know then who Gunther will be defending his title against at WrestleMania. Like and subscribe. 400 likes is the goal I set tonight. I'm sure we can at least hit that much. Super chats are open, so get them on in. And as always, I will be reading through them and answering your questions a little bit later on. So let's get into this Monday Night Raw here, because Raw tonight kicked off with Cody Rhodes, the number one contender for the WWE Championship, coming down to the ring. And Cody talked about challenging Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 for the Undisputed Championship. But he said there's a distraction. And that distraction is The Rock. And he talked about The Rock posting that 16-minute social media rant last Friday, then deleting it, and 5 minutes later posting the 21-minute, I guess that was the director's cut, he said, the director's cut version of his promo. And I have a video up on the YouTube channel right now from episode 851 this past weekend talking about that very promo, dissecting it and analyzing. It's funny too, because it was a 21-minute promo that The Rock posted on Instagram, and I didn't realize it until I put the clip up on YouTube, but the clip is just shy of 21 minutes long. So I have a 21-minute promo of my own dissecting the 21-minute promo of The Rock. So you can check that out on the channel if you haven't already done so. But he said then on SmackDown, The Rock came out and he called all the fans meth heads. He called them crackheads too, but he didn't mention that. He called them meth heads, and he talked about Cody's dog, and Cody got very serious, and he looked into the camera and he said, told The Rock in no uncertain terms, do not ever talk about my dog. And then the biggest headline, which he said The Rock made sure was not the headline, is that The Rock did not accept his challenge that he threw out at Elimination Chamber for a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. No, The Rock challenged the two of them, Cody and Seth, changed the conversation and challenged them like the master politician. He changed the conversation. He goes, no wonder people talk about The Rock running for office. He's so good at the political game. He said, you and I did have a conversation. Now my ears perked up, right? We're going back to that segment from SmackDown last month with the conversation. What did The Rock whisper in Cody's ear, right? The Rock told us in the promo he did, but I was wondering, you know, was he telling the full truth? Was there something that he said that Cody could reveal that he would not want to be revealed? So now we got Cody's side of it here. And Cody said that they did have a conversation. That part is true. He described it as Rock pouring honey into his ear. That's going to end up as a fanfic online somewhere. The Rock was pouring honey into his ear and telling Cody that the people don't want Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns or WrestleMania. He said that this is for the people, and the people want The Rock versus Roman Reigns. But then the most peculiar thing happened. The fans began to chant something else. And on cue, the fans started chanting, we want Cody in the building. And Cody said, I heard it, and I appreciated it. And I know that Rock heard it because he started calling the fans crybabies. And he asked, are we got any crybabies in the building tonight? Because they had about 15,000 people in the building for Raw. I mean, they are on fire right now. I mean, it's not just that they are packing these places in week after week after week. I mean, these are the weekly shows, and they're getting 13, 14, 15,000 people. They have not done that since the Attitude Era. In the Attitude Era, you had house shows where they were selling out with 15 to 18,000 people, let alone Monday Night Raws. So they are absolutely scorching right now. Raw and SmackDown, both. I mean, because The Rock is not on Raw, but they're still doing these houses on Raw with Cody Rhodes and with Seth Rollins and with Jey Uso and with Gunther. You know, with that crew, there's no Roman Reigns on these shows. There's no Rock. It's the WWE brand right now. But they also have a lot of baby faces and big names that are over. Right? I've talked about that recently, too. Like, it's amazing how many people are over right now and are popular with the audience and are selling merch and moving numbers. Roman and Rock and Cody. And the thing I always laugh about, we get these reports online sometimes about the WWE t-shirt numbers and the merch numbers, right, each week. And who's on the top 10 and who's at the top of the list. And I noticed that on Sunday, the update for top-selling t-shirts in WWE, do you know who was number one? The number one merch seller, at least as far as t-shirts in WWE on Sunday? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, Austin is routinely in the top 10, but to be number one, and he is not even on television right now. When was the last time we even saw Austin? It was probably WrestleMania 2 years ago. Number one. That's why he's the GOAT. That's why he's the GOAT. 20 plus years later, this man is still number one when it comes to t-shirt sales. I think by the next day he was down to 7 or 8, but still, incredible. I'll tell you what, though, if they were going to run some kind of an angle where Seth Rollins got hurt and he couldn't help Cody in the tag team match on night one, I could think of one person who would fill in very nicely. And I don't think the fans would mind at all if they wanted to slip in a substitute for Cody's tag team partner. You hear the glass shatter and down comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Imagine the reaction that would get. Guy's still over. So anyway, he was talking about The Rock's new challenge, one that doesn't only involve him, but his friend. And then Cody thought about what he just said. He goes, yeah, I think we're friends, and I think it's time for him to come out here. And of course, he was talking about the world heavyweight champion. He introduced Seth freaking Rollins, and Rollins walked out in his neon green outfit looking like a fucking human highlighter, okay? This is what Seth Rollins looked like when he came out, okay? You could have literally had a giant highlighter dancing to the ring, okay? I want to put, like, some sequins on this thing, and this could be Seth Rollins. I'll put him on the shelf behind me. We'll make him a permanent part of the backdrop here. Fucking Seth Rollins. This is what he came out looking like tonight here on this TV show. But the news here is that as Rollins was making his entrance, they put a graphic up on the screen for Seth Rollins against Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania, and it said WrestleMania Sunday. So now it has been confirmed that the World Heavyweight Championship will be defended not on night one, it will be defended on night two, so too will the WWE Championship, right? We already know we have a tag match on night one. So Cody and Roman are having their match in the main event of night two, which means that McIntyre and Rollins are probably opening the show on night two. So that's news, because we did not know what night the match would be assigned. Now we know it'll be night two. They're actually billing it as a co-main event. So Cody said that Seth has promised to be here for him and have his back, but he knows that he's got his hands full with Drew. Drew being the only other man other than Roman Reigns that has beaten Cody Rhodes is Drew McIntyre. He says, look, if you don't want to have my back in the tag team match on night one, I'll totally understand. And he said, Seth said, look, I appreciate you giving me the out here for the tag match, but I'm going to take care of Drew McIntyre, no problem. Us taking down the bloodline is the biggest thing that we can do. He said it's not only Cody trying to finish his story at WrestleMania, but Seth trying to finish his own. He has wanted to give the power back to the people. But Roman Reigns wants to keep all the power to himself. Now with The Rock and the bloodline, he said we are this close to Roman Reigns having absolute power. Rollins said that San Antonio, I don't know how you guys feel about The Rock, but I'm kind of over The Rock. We got Chance of Rocky Sucks from the crowd. He said, The Rock hasn't been the people's champion for a long time. And so over the weekend, he gave some thought to a potential new nickname that he could give to The Rock. And he came up with a new name for The Rock. Are you ready for this? He thinks that he is going to start to call The Rock, and I pray to God that he doesn't, but he is going to start to call The Rock Diarrhea Dwayne. That is his new nickname for The Rock. He spent his entire weekend coming up with that. That's what he came up with. Diarrhea Dwayne is his new name for The Rock because he's been running his mouth and everything coming out of his mouth has the consistency of wet baby poop. That's what he said. Wet baby poop. Remember JBL is poopy? Many years ago, I had flashbacks. So this got diarrhea chants from the crowd, because these people will chant anything. They're like a bunch of trained seals, so they'll chant pretty much anything. So they chanted diarrhea. You know, honestly, I was thinking about this. If you were going to have a diarrhea chant, Rhea Ripley would be the one. Like, that would be perfect. Yeah, she's a heel. And so if people didn't love her so much that they cheer for her when she comes out, you could have somebody come out and call her, which is still childish, but you can at least say, okay, it's a play off of her name, right? So it kind of fits. It's silly, it's stupid, but it kind of fits. But otherwise, there's just no excuse for this. This is just very dumb. So Seth said Rock, in his social media video, threatened that he could take the World Heavyweight Championship away from him anytime he wants to. And Rollins actually dared him to try. He had a big grin on his face. He looked in the camera and he told Dwayne, I dare you. And the first thing that popped in my head when he said that is Damian Priest. He's got to be careful. Now, Priest can cash in his money in the bank anytime he wants to, but he's had this thing now for months. He's tried to cash in. He's been foiled. He still has the briefcase. He has until June or July to cash in. But if anybody wanted to exert their influence and say, look, right, as a member of the board, as your boss, I want you, I command you to cash in your money in the bank, Rock has the ability to do that. So Rock may end up living up to his promise, and if Damian Priest does end up cashing in at WrestleMania at some point, it could be at the behest of The Rock. Yes, diarrhea cha-cha-cha. That was from the, that's what Beavis and Butthead used to chant that at Daria in the early days of the Beavis and Butthead cartoon. Diarrhea cha-cha-cha. Maybe he was watching Beavis and Butthead over the weekend. That doesn't make it right. Rollins said Rock claimed to have made professional wrestling cool again. Pro wrestling is cool because of The Rock. But Rock hasn't been cool, he said, in 20 years. And then Rollins, let me tell you something. If you're going to have somebody on this show, any of these characters on this show, going out there and ripping on The Rock, talking about how uncool The Rock is, moments after he came out here in the middle of this ring and said, I'm going to call you Diarrhea Dwayne, Seth Rollins is not the person to go out there and say The Rock is not cool. Surely they can find somebody else on this show who can go out there and say The Rock is not cool. Seth Rollins is not the person who should be saying that. But Rollins dropped some news on us. He said that as of this morning, he was officially 100% medically cleared, and he is ready to go. And this Friday on SmackDown, he will be there to confront the Bloodline. But what he wants to know, he's been asking Cody for weeks, because he told him, remember, he told Cody, I got your back, I'll be your shield. He wants to know, is Cody going to have his back? Cody said, on that note, I also have a message for The Rock. Says, Rock, it's been a long time since you haven't just been handed something, and I think you forgot. I'm not going to whine in a 20-minute promo. I am coming to SmackDown with Seth Rollins to stand across from you and the entire Bloodline. In the great state of Texas, and this Friday, I will give you face-to-face, eye-to-eye, not whispering in your ear, your very clear and obvious answer for what is going to happen at WrestleMania. For all the talk here, Cody was talking about how Rock went and dropped a 16-minute promo, and then he dropped a 21-minute promo on Instagram. This segment ran almost as long. So Cody doesn't really have a leg to stand on here, because this also went almost 20 minutes. You know, we had Rock go on social media. He cuts this promo roasting these men. OK, Okay, he goes in, he roasts Cody Rhodes, and he roasts Seth Rollins. And he's using hurling all kinds of insults at them and telling Cody, talking about the Cody crybabies and, he's insulting Seth Rollins and calling Seth Rollins a walking clown emoji, which is totally perfect because, I mean, again, need I remind you, right? Rock is not wrong when he calls Seth Rollins a walking clown show. Okay, the man knows what he's talking about. Say what you want to about The Rock. He was not wrong when he said that. But again, Rock is going on and, talking about Cody and his story.
Fuck your story.
Right. I mean, all this shit that he's talking in that promo. And then we have to watch this here. We have Seth Rollins, his big comeback is Diarrhea Dwayne. Who wrote this shit? I hope he didn't come up with that by himself. But again, they have like a team of people who write for these shows. Let us hope that that dies on Friday, because I'm sure the people are going to chant diarrhea at The Rock. Let's hope that that dies by the end of this week, and we can put that behind us, because that is just fucking terrible. The rest of this I thought was fine. It sets things up for SmackDown. They're going to pop a big number on Friday. They've been doing big numbers on SmackDown for these segments with the Bloodline, Rock, Roman. So they're going to pop a big number on Friday. All four men are going to be there in the ring together. I think that's another sold-out show. But the other big news coming out of the segment is that Rollins is now officially 100% medically cleared. He can get back in the ring now if they want him to. And now we know which night of WrestleMania Rollins is going to be defending his title against Drew McIntyre. It will be night two and not night one. And I think almost certainly that match is going to open the show. They'll open with the World Heavyweight title and they'll close with Cody and Roman. We had the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, Gunther, one-on-one with Dirty Dominic Mysterio. This was a non-title match. You see, Dom ran his mouth last week. He stepped to Gunther. He said that he'll take him on, right? He was ready for the challenge, and he got himself in some trouble here. Then they had Michael Cole here at the beginning of this match. They had Michael Cole take a moment, which was unexpected, to congratulate Sting after nearly 40 years in the business. He congratulated Sting on his retirement from professional wrestling. And he said, thanks for the memories. Congratulations to Sting. By the way, I am loving all of the professional wrestling references of late. The Rock always, in all the promos he's done these last few weeks, including the one on social media, it's not constantly sports entertainment. You know why? Because the old fuck isn't there anymore. And so now they could be a little more loosey-goosey when it comes to calling it what it is, what it's always been, which is professional wrestling. And they'll use them interchangeably, which is fine. But we're getting more pro wrestling references and name drops on TV. I like it. It's sad that I have to even bring that up. Like, drawing attention to the fact that they're calling it professional wrestling. It would be like a baseball announcer calling it baseball. Oh my God, he actually called it baseball. It's idiotic, but for so long it was a dirty word and very rarely did you hear it on TV. It's kind of refreshing to hear so many people calling it what it is. But Pat McAfee, after Michael Cole got done paying tribute here to Sting briefly, Pat McAfee got a comment in and he said that Sting had an absolutely epic match last night. And Michael Cole could not have cut him off any quicker. not that they were going to spend the entire match talking about Sting, but it was very abrupt. And he just like, okay, back to the action here. I think if Pat said any more than what he said, they would have cut his mic off. But it was very nice. I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they acknowledged Sting. Look, a nice show of respect for one of the all-time greats and a man who worked for their company. This is a man who worked. His work spans multiple companies, including WWE. His run there was relatively brief. It did not end the way that he wanted it to, but he did work there. And so it's only appropriate that they acknowledge it. I'm glad they did. The man deserves his flowers. And Dominic spent a good part of the match trying to out-chop Gunther. I don't know why he thought this would be a good idea. This is a terrible idea. That is not what you should do. If you are ever in the ring with Gunther, you should absolutely not try to get into a chop battle with him. That's a very bad idea. Dom ducked between the ropes. He took a cheap shot at Gunther before bailing out to the floor. JD McDonagh was outside with him, and he stood in front of Dom, trying to shield him. Gunther threw a chop at McDonagh. Dom, though, pulled him out of the way, which caused Gunther to chop the ring post instead. Gunther blasted Dom with chops coming out of a commercial. He put Dom in a Boston Crab, let go of the hold to go chase McDonagh off the apron. Dom hit Gunther from behind. He sent him to the floor, and then he dove onto him from the middle rope outside. Back inside, Dom got Gunther in position for a 619. He ran the ropes, went for the move. Gunther, though, turned him inside out with a clothesline. And Gunther covered Dom, but then he picked his head back up. He wasn't done yet. He wanted to toy with this man. So Gunther went for a powerbomb. Dom, though, countered into a sunset bomb, got a great near fall out of it, but people cheered this like he was a babyface. Dom got Gunther in 619 position again. This time he hit the move, but then when he went up top, he jumped off. He rolled through because Gunther moved, and Gunther drop-kicked the soul out of this man. And then he picked him up, he powerbombed him, and he locked on the Boston Crab, and Dominic immediately tapped. This was fun. This was fun. It's probably the exact match that Dom would have had with Brock Lesnar. As I'm watching this, I'm thinking, even from the moment they announced the match, which, by the way, they did not advertise this match at all. They advertised two things. I went to the Raw preview as late as 6:30, and they had two things advertised for the show. Drew McIntyre against Jey Uso. And the other, what was the other one that they had? There was one other match that they had advertised. I actually have it in the description. I put it in the description down below. I forgot what it was. I don't know why they didn't advertise this, but I'm watching it thinking, okay, the reports that Brock and Dom were going to have a match in Australia, which just made no sense to me, but I was like, all right, that could have been fun. I think they literally just took the blueprint for that match and they applied it here. And what we saw here is what we would have seen at Elimination Chamber. But at the end of the day, the story of this match, Dom fucked around and he found out. Now, fresh off of her betrayal of Bayley on SmackDown last week, we saw Dakota Kai backstage walking with the other members of Damage Control when they ran into Adam Pearce, who wanted to know why they were there. And Dakota had to remind the GM that, you know, the women's tag team champions can float, they can work across multiple brands, and we're just here tonight to scout some competition in Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. She said, we're not here for anything insidious. So Shinsuke Nakamura walked up to Pierce and said he wanted to discuss something with him. Pierce said, does it have to do with the Intercontinental title? And Nakamura said, yes. And Pierce said, look, I'm going to have an announcement later in the show about this, but if you want, come with me into my office. Then we had a women's tag match, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark against Caden Carter and Katana Chance, the former tag team champions. Damage Control was at ringside for this, and they were watching the match. They were literally sitting, laying on top of the announce desk. And so blocking the announcer's view, Pat McAfee said, I can't see a thing. And they were observing. They went to a commercial break a minute into this. After the break, Chance and Carter gave Zoe a double Spanish fly off the top rope. Michael Cole called it a superplex. Pat McAfee corrected him. Something is very wrong here when Pat McAfee is correcting the names of moves for Michael Cole. It should be the other way around. Chance and Carter hit their after-party finish and had Zoe beat. Baszler, though, yanked Carter out of the ring, put her in the Karafuta clutch. Zoe used that distraction to roll up Katana Chance for the win. When the match was over, Dakota Kai got into the ring and announced that Asuka and Kairi would retain their titles tomorrow on NXT. I think it's their Roadblock show tomorrow night. And then they would give Baszler and Zoe a tag team championship match. Shayna snatched the mic away from her and said it was about time. You know, they've given Baszler and Zoe some wins recently on TV, but it doesn't feel like the fans are any more invested in them as a team now than they were a month ago. Doesn't really feel like there's been much of a change. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I recently bought a retro handheld device. Lets me play thousands of old video games on it, and it's smaller than the size of my hand. This thing is incredible, but you can best believe that I am taking good care of this thing. I've got my case, it came with a screen protector, because it might be okay without that stuff, but the minute the screen gets scratched up, I'm going to regret that I didn't do all I could to protect this thing. It's a lot like going online without ExpressVPN. You might be okay without it, but all it takes is one problem, and you're going to be kicking yourself that you did not protect yourself from the very start. Every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, in a cafe somewhere, at the airport, in your hotel room, your data is not secure. Anyone with enough know-how on that same network can easily steal your information, and that includes passwords and important financial details. It doesn't take much knowledge to do it. A teenager could do it. And your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your info on the dark web. So why should you be using ExpressVPN? Because it creates an encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It's also easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. That's it. And it works on all devices like phones, laptops, tablets, so you can stay secure while you're on the go. The thing I love the most about ExpressVPN and really appreciate is just how easy it is to use. I don't even have to think about it. I just click one button and it takes care of the rest for me. And that's important to me because I do so many things online. If any of that was compromised, it would be a huge headache to have to deal with all that. Now I don't need to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Now they showed Dominic backstage. He was on the trainer's table being tended to. Everybody was there. Rhea Ripley, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, the trainer, JD McDonagh with the big head. Priest said that they would make things right with Imperium, and then Priest told McDonagh that he would have to make things right with Gunther, which was news to JD McDonagh. Andrade walked into the room. It was very brief. He walked in, and he told Dom, I'll see you soon, and he wished him good luck, and then he walked out. And that's kind of what he said to him the last time they ran into each other in the backstage area, which I think was last week. It was the last week or the week before. I think it was last week. And Andrade said something about seeing him soon or whatever, kind of teasing the idea that they're going to be opponents soon. They're going to be in the ring soon. But Dom, after he left, Dom said that they should keep an eye on him because he could be valuable to them. McDonagh wanted to know more about this Gunther stuff, and Priest said that he would let him know more later. We had a rematch. It was Becky Lynch against Nia Jax. This was a rematch from day one, the very first Raw of 2024, where the two of them actually had a pretty good match. This was not as good as that match. Nia dominated for a little while there. Becky chop blocked her and hit a missile drop kick or some form of a missile drop kick. Becky tried to dive off the apron. Nia caught her and hit a Samoan drop on the floor. After a break, Becky tried a superplex. Nia dropped her, though, face first, and then followed with a middle rope diving leg drop for two. Nia hit another Samoan drop and then went for her annihilator finish, but Becky moved out of the way. And Becky applied to disarm her before transitioning into an armbar. Nia rolled out of the ring, still had Becky, and she swung her into the barricade. Liv Morgan suddenly, because you could hear the crowd is stirring. We can't see who it is, but the camera pans back, and behind Nia Jax, standing on top of the barricade by the timekeeper's area, is Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan dives off onto Nia, just like Becky did to Nia during Liv's match with Nia previously. And just in that match, we had the referee call for the disqualification. Liv got in the ring and yelled at Becky. The two of them started arguing. This allowed Nia to take both of them out. She pulled Liv out to the floor, dropped the leg on her. She ran Becky into the ring post. Then Nia, as she's leaving, she's kind of backing up the rampway or down the aisleway. She reaches over and she grabs a hat. There's a fan sitting there. She grabs the hat off this guy's head and starts whacking him with it. I don't know if it was a fan, if it was a planted fan, I don't know. But she's whacking this guy with his hat, and then she chucks the hat into the crowd. So, I don't know what he did or what he said, but she had some fun with him. You know, these days, you got to be careful, you know. These days, you know, you take somebody's hat and you fucking, you know, you bend it or you spit on it or something. They'll turn around and, you know, they'll complain about it on social media and it'll be a whole big controversy. How could Nia Jax do such a thing? How could she desecrate this person's hat? This woman is a menace. She needs to be stopped. How dare you? It's his personal property. They used to do far worse many years ago. Far worse than that. Stunt granny? Now, they don't have stunt grannies anymore. I do miss the days of stunt grannies, though. We're not going to see any stunt grannies get Claymore kicked. Not going to see anything like that. This was not nearly as good as their match at Day One. And I'm not even talking about the fact that this had the cheap disqualification finish. The match itself just wasn't as good. Just to compare the two, there was no comparison. But it was a natural finish after the way that Liv Morgan's match ended last week. Now, later on in the back, after this was over, Becky confronted Liv and said, "Look, I apologize to you already for what I did during your match." She understood why Liv did what she did, but when Becky attacked Nia, it was to get back at her, not at Liv. And Morgan said the man could dish it out, but she couldn't take it. And Becky challenged her to a match next week, and Liv accepted and walked off. And then Rhea Ripley showed up, and she never said a word to Becky. She just stared at her, and she laughed, and then she walked away. And by the way, when they showed Rhea on screen, the crowd popped. Michael Cole, at this point, sent it to Adam Pearce. This is one of the things I was curious, how they were going to handle the Intercontinental Championship situation. So they sent it to Adam Pearce in the back. He said that he has gone up and down the roster to identify people that he feels deserve to be in contention for a shot at Gunther's Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. And he has identified six men, three former champions in Sami Zayn, Ricochet, and Shinsuke Nakamura, and three up-and-coming stars in Bronson Reed, JD McDonagh, and a man who had made a compelling case to him for why he deserves a rematch with Gunther, Chad Gable. And he said that these six men will compete next Monday night on Raw in a gauntlet match to decide on a number one contender. The winner will go on to WrestleMania to fight for the Intercontinental Championship. On the one hand, they have television time to fill between now and WrestleMania, right? They got 4 weeks until WrestleMania. And you got 3 hours of Raw. So there you go. Multiply that. That's a lot of hours of TV on Monday they have to kill between now and then. So I understand them doing this on television and not holding off until night one. I do wish they would have gone with the idea that we were talking about that I pitched last week on the stream, which was, you find six guys or eight guys, however many, right, somewhere in that range, and you have a multi-man match on night one. It could be a ladder match with a contract hanging. It doesn't have to be a ladder match, but you have a match on night one of WrestleMania, right? You have two nights. Night one, those guys fight it out. The winner goes on to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental title on night two. And I thought that scenario would just work out perfectly. And it would also be a way to get all these guys, and a lot of these guys should have a spot on the WrestleMania card, you know, because they've been featured on television so heavily over the past several months. But it would get them on the show in a match that actually has stakes, because in the past, when they try to get everybody on the show, it's usually a meaningless battle royal. And now they don't even have the Andre battle royal on the pay-per-view anymore. They relegate it to SmackDown the night before. So they fit them all in a battle royal, or they have some kind of big tag match, 8-man tag, 10-man tag, 12-man tag. But what does it mean? You know, it doesn't mean anything. At least here, it would have served a purpose, right? There would have been high stakes. It gets them on the show, probably have a kick-ass match, and it ties night one into night two, which is what they're already doing, I guess, with Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth. They're trying to tie night one into night two and connect the two. So I like that idea. I kind of wish they would have done that. But this is going to be a great match next week. Now, we've had gauntlet matches on Raw before. In fact, I remember a gauntlet match with Seth Rollins many years ago where I think he actually beat Roman Reigns and John Cena if I remember correctly. I think he pinned both of them in that one gauntlet match, and he went like an hour. Like, there have been some really quality gauntlet matches on television in the past, but they can be hit or miss. Some of them are boring. Some of them the crowd really isn't, you know, up for it. I don't think that's going to be an issue given some of the talent that they've got in this gauntlet. You got Sami Zayn in there. You got Chad Gable in there, right? You got some names in here that are going to do, I think, very well, and they'll have the crowd behind them. It's got to be one of two people. Okay, you got six names in there. It's either Sami Zayn or it's Chad Gable. That's it. It's not going to be Shinsuke Nakamura. It's not going to be Ricochet. It's not going to be Bronson Reed. It's not going to be Lego Boy. It's not going to be any of these people. It's going to be Sami Zayn or Chad Gable. I would be fine with either one. It's not as if Sami Zayn wins, I'm going to be pissed. It's going to suck. Sami Zayn and Gunther would have an incredible match. Chad Gable and Gunther, we already know they can have an incredible match because they've had some bangers before. We know this already. I want it to be Chad Gable. I am pulling for Chad Gable next week. Gable needs to be the one to go to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Everybody is talking about Cody's story, right? Everybody's talking about stories and finishing the story and this story and that story.
Fuck your story.
Okay, but the fact is, Chad Gable has a story of his own that is incomplete. Chad Gable came out later in the show. May as well skip ahead and just talk about this because Gunther was interviewed in the back later on by Kathy Kelly. And in that interview, Chad Gable showed up in his suit to confront Gunther. And he brought up the fact that last time you and I shared a ring together, I haven't forgotten what you did. I haven't forgotten what you said, where you called me a terrible father and my daughter is in the front row and she's crying. And again, he talked about how it's not just about the championship this time. It's about more. It's just about more. And Gunther laughed him off. He laughed in the man's face and he walked away. Now, Sami Zayn also had a promo in the back on this show. He was in the back with Jackie Redmond and she asked him for his thoughts about this announcement and his potential path here to a championship match at WrestleMania. And Sammy was talking about how this is it right here. I've been talking about this, right? It's like I've manifested this. I've been talking about how I want to go to WrestleMania and I want to do something historic and I want to be a champion again. And now I have the chance to go and beat maybe the most dominant champion, he said, of all time. He said this with a straight face when literally a year ago, he was in the ring with a man who has been champion for a lot longer than Gunther has been champion for, but he's trying to put the guy over. So he called him maybe the most dominant champion ever in WWE. But this is his path now. He can go to WrestleMania and he could potentially win the Intercontinental title, which he has already held before multiple times. Chad Gable has never been a singles champion in WWE. So when I look at this, as great as that match would be with Sami and Gunther, the match that it has to be, because I had been holding out a sliver of hope that they were going to return to this, but I was losing hope rapidly, okay, because they haven't exactly been doing much with Gable ever since he lost to Gunther in September. They've done practically fuck all with this man. But I was holding on to that sliver of hope that they would circle back to the story. The fact that they are now teasing it, okay, they're teasing it. They're literally, they have the two of them on camera together, and they are teasing the fact that we might just get these two back in the ring. To not do it would be a massive disappointment. So Sami and Gunther, hey, fine, but it'll still be very disappointing if we don't get the other match. So I'm pulling for Gable next week. And look, there's a great way. There's a very easy way to pull this off, right? Gable is the consummate underdog here, even more than Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has been around for a while. He's established. He's one of the bigger names they have. Gable doesn't have the pedigree in this company that Sami Zayn has. He doesn't have the resume that Sami Zayn has. He doesn't even have necessarily the fan support that Sami Zayn has, but he could. There's a way to tell this story. Gable goes out there. He can open the gauntlet. Let him run the gauntlet. He's the ultimate underdog here. Or maybe he's not number one, he's number two. You certainly don't send him out there late in the match, right? If he doesn't open the gauntlet, he should come out there at number two, right, at the most. But there's an easy way to do this. And you can build it. Like, this could be an incredible match next week if they play their cards right. So I'm looking forward to that. But I could easily see it going the other way, because they've been really harping hard on this story with Sammy now for several weeks. Kevin Owens looks like he's going to be wrestling for the U.S. title. You know, we may have a triple threat at WrestleMania with him and Randy Orton and Logan Paul. And so, you know, maybe Sammy challenges for the other title. But I think it should be Gable. I think he made a good case for himself tonight. Next up was the in-ring Raw return of Andrade El Idolo, taking on Apollo Crews, who has not wrestled a match on Raw since July. That is the last. He's been pulling main event duty ever since. So this was his Raw return after a very long time, an extended absence for him. Cole, as in Michael Cole, he dropped a CMLL reference while talking about Andrade's past. So CMLL getting lots of love on American television of late. They cut to the back a few times here to show the Judgment Day watching Andrade's match, since Dom said, like, let's keep an eye on this guy. Crews hit a superplex. He tried to roll through, but Andrade countered into the Three Amigos. Andrade hit a back elbow and then followed with his hammerlock DDT for the win, which the announcers referred to, Michael Cole referred to as La Sombra. It's the La Sombra DDT. So this was a quick, I wouldn't call it a squash. I mean, it's not like Crews didn't get some offense here, but you know, basically a glorified squash. And just a quick spotlight win for Andrade to get him going. My guess is he ends up feuding with the Judgment Day rather than joining them. Finn Balor and Damian Priest, they took on Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. This was another non-title match involving a member or members of Imperium. Heel against heel, interestingly, but the Judgment Day were treated as babyface. So they basically worked babyface in this match. And that's how the fans saw it. They treated them like babyfaces. Priest missed the corner splash. Balor made a hot tag, hit Kaiser with a sling blade. Vinci blocked Balor's drop kick attempt. And we got a Kaiser roll. We got a Kaiser roll here during the match. There you go. I should have my bingo card set up. We have different things, right? Michael Cole's antlers, Kaiser roll, professional wrestling mention. We got to create some kind of like a Raw bingo card. Put it up on the screen. Balor fought back with a sling blade, a drop kick, and a coup de grace on Vinci, but Kaiser broke up the pin. Priest knocked Kaiser over the top rope, and when he knocked Kaiser out of the ring, he landed on his feet, but he kind of hopped like he may have hurt his leg. And even though then the camera wasn't on him, you could hear, not really screaming, but almost like moaning. Like, maybe he's not selling, maybe he hurt himself for real. Balor was supposed to do a dive out of the ring. He followed through, he hit Kaiser, but then you could see Kaiser immediately reach down and grab what looked like his ankle. So hopefully he's okay. Hopefully that was not anything legit, but that's kind of what it looked like to me. Vinci tried a schoolboy, but Priest kicked out and followed with a clothesline and a South of Heaven chokeslam for the win. I hope Kaiser is okay. This turned into a hell of a tag team match here. Hopefully Imperium doesn't just revert back to job duty. You know, they came out pretty strong from that New Day feud. They came out winning that feud. Here they wrestled the tag team champion, so no shame in defeat. But if they just continue to lose after this, it's kind of like, All that positive momentum forward that they made with Imperium, I thought that feud with them in New Day did both teams a lot of good as far as people taking them more seriously. If they just revert back to jobbing, it's like, what was the point of any of that? Now, Michael Cole introduced a short video package for Paul Heyman being inducted into the Hall of Fame. They gave the news to the Associated Press, so the AP technically broke the news. Any outlet that breaks the news, it's WWE breaking the news through that outlet. So they chose the Associated Press for this particular announcement. Cole said that he would not be here where he is today after 27 years without Paul Heyman. And he told a story about sitting in the editing booth with Taz when they used to do commentary, sitting in the booth back in Stamford, and Heyman would just drill them for hours on the right way to do commentary and teaching them, you know, their passion, how to be passionate about the industry. And Cole said that that was minuscule compared to Heyman's other contributions to the business. And we talked about Paul Heyman already at the start, so very worthy induction there. Jackie Redmond interviewed Drew McIntyre. McIntyre said that Seth Rollins obviously didn't listen to him last week when he told him, stay out of the Bloodline's business. He called Rollins a junkie for the spotlight. Rollins kept getting involved when people returned. But that is an interesting point that McIntyre makes here, where Rollins always feels compelled to involve himself in some way when somebody comes back. Cody, Punk, The Rock. I don't know, he hasn't gotten involved in Andrade's business yet. He's left Andrade alone for the time being. Actually, Andrade and Rollins for the World Heavyweight title. That'd be a hell of a match. McIntyre said he didn't care anymore what Rollins did, as long as he showed up to WrestleMania. He said that he will put him down because the title deserves so much better than him. It also deserves better than Jey Uso, who is his opponent tonight. All McIntyre wants from Jey, or wanted from him this entire time, was an apology. Instead, McIntyre wanted to be the bigger man, and he apologized to Jey because he knew how much Jey needed this victory, but there wasn't a chance in hell that he was winning tonight. Backstage, Rhea Ripley confronted Io Sky and Damage Control, but she really confronted Io and told her to stay out of her territory. This is the San Antonio territory. Io, you're in St. Louis. You stay in your territory, and I'll stay in mine. There you go. Bring back the territories. That's what I... Now that Vince is out of the way, we can try to resuscitate the territories. Now, the territories, much like kayfabe, is dead. No matter how hard Billy Corgan tries to revive them, they are never coming back. Sami Zayn one-on-one with Ivar. We had some shenanigans here. Ivar and Valhalla, they made their entrance, and Michael Cole, the moment he spotted Valhalla had her antlers on, this has been like a running joke on the show, and it's kind of like what Cole used to do when Flop Dolla would come out on SmackDown. He was merciless, just mocking this man and, you know, always making fun of him and stuff. But the reason that the announcers will do that sort of thing is they're actually trying to help the person because they're trying to draw attention to that person. Now, sometimes it could backfire. Nobody was ever going to take Flop Dolla seriously when Michael Cole is, you know, basically insulting him and mocking him every single week. But they try to kind of get these people over in some way, and it's just something they came up with where when she would come out and not have the antlers on, he would be very disappointed. And then when she would come out and have the antlers on, he just loses his mind. So he was very happy about this. And then when Valhalla gets to ringside, she jumps up onto the announce desk. And she's like squatting on the announce. It looked like she was taking a shit on the announce desk. She's squatting on the announce desk. And she removes her antlers. And she places the antlers. Cole takes the headset off. She places the antlers on Michael Cole's head. Look at this fucking guy. He looks like a reindeer. He looks like a reindeer. This is what Michael Cole wore for the entirety of this match. And he was so excited, too. He was like, yes, finally. He gave a double thumbs up. He even got a Michael chant from the crowd. He also took a lighthearted shot at Jim Ross and his, I think his word was silly or stupid. What do you call the cowboy hat? Silly? His silly cowboy hat? Now I know what it feels like to wear something silly on my head. Now we're going to get a million stories tomorrow about how Michael Cole took a shot at Jim Ross and he's shooting on JR. Then we'll get a whole clip with Conrad asking JR about it in the week. So we got references on this show, just if you're keeping track of these things. We got references on this show from Michael Cole to Sting, Taz, Jim Ross, and CMLL. And after Cole put the antlers on, Pat McAfee said that he looked like, and I quote, an asshole. That's what he said. I can't remember in the history of this show. I mean, we've had people come out in the ring and call Vince McMahon an asshole and call people assholes. I don't think I can ever remember there being on commentary, one commentator on Raw turning to the other one and saying, you look like an asshole. He does look like an asshole. I mean, look at this guy. I'm going to keep this up here because it's just ridiculous. So he was holding his headset in his hand doing commentary while he wore the reindeer shit on his head. So Sammy went to the ropes and he set up for a DDT. Ivar blocked it and tossed Zayn to the floor. Ivar went to the apron. He hit a cannonball. I feel like this is some sort of like religious ritual here where we have this creature on screen. Now we have the heavenly music. We have to make some sort of blood sacrifice to this creature. What should we call this creature? We can call it the Cole, but that just seems kind of lame. Anyway, that took us into a commercial break. After the break, Sammy went for a haluva kick. Ivar cut him off with a spin kick, and then he hit a double underhook power bomb for a near fall. Ivar places Zayn. See, you can't take this match seriously so long as I leave that image up on the screen. Now, how do you think the wrestlers felt having to wrestle out there while he wore that for the entire match? Every time they glanced over, this is what they saw. Looking around for Santa Claus. Zayn fought back. He hit a sunset bomb for a two count. All right, let's get rid of this guy. Freaking me out here. Sammy hit an exploder. He tried for the haluva kick. Ivar stuffed it. He went up top. Ivar did. He attempted his doom salt. Zayn rolled out of the way, though, and then finally Sammy connected with the haluva kick, and he got the three count. After the match was over, Sammy didn't have much time to celebrate because Bronson Reed attacked him from behind. He went up top, and he squashed him like a bug with the tsunami splash. Reed stood on the ropes and he pointed to the WrestleMania sign right there. Those are two of the six names in the gauntlet next week. Bronson Reed and Sami Zayn. There's a lot of talent in that match. I'm telling you, this gauntlet, I think, is going to impress a lot of people. I think Coltar. There you go. We'll call him Coltar. Instead of Mantar, he's Coltar. I like it. It cut to the back, and we had Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and R-Truth. They were playing WWE 2K24, which I did not even realize the game is out, I think, at the end of this week. Or is it out at midnight? Well, it's midnight. It's after midnight now. I thought the game was coming out on Friday. I think officially it comes out on Friday. For the people who have asked me, yes, I do plan on playing the game. We'll start a whole new series over for 2K24 on Sound Off Gamer. I don't know when. I don't know if I'm going to buy the game this week or next week. Maybe next week. But at some point soon, yes, we will be doing more Sound Off Gamer. Hopefully I will have better luck this year than I did with 2K23 last year. We'll have to bring Sal O the Monster back and see how we do. Oh, if you pre-ordered. Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't pre-order. So if you pre-ordered, I guess you guys have access to it, but Friday I think it comes out for everybody else. So they're in the back, they're playing video games. See, this is what The Undertaker, he's probably shaking his head going, these fucking guys. They're in the back, they're playing video games. What has happened to wrestling? I mean, back in the day, come on, man. You got a drink, you got your bottle of Jack Daniels back there, you got guys that are smoking, they're probably shooting up, they're having fights, right? They're getting hazed. Right? The good old days. So they're playing video games, and The Miz is with them, and he's wondering, how are you playing the game early? And Woods said that he had a special hookup with 2K. Miz heard all their ideas about how to get revenge on the Judgment Day, and he was baffled at some of these suggestions. One of them was, we're going to drop slime on them. And then another one was, we're going to feed them bread. There's one thing I've learned about the birds. You don't feed them bread. So he was confused by this. He goes, feed them bread. And R-Truth said that, yeah, I mean, one of them may have a problem with gluten. And Miz said, look, we should take the tag team titles from them. That's how we get revenge on the Judgment Day. And Ciampa and Gargano and Truth, they called themselves Regeneration X like a bunch of fucking geeks. And Woods had to pretend like it was a good idea. I like that. I'm actually a fan of that. I like that. Regeneration X. Comedy this was. The main event was Drew McIntyre against Jey Uso. They went to a commercial break a minute into this. McIntyre hurled him over the announce desk, and that took us into the break. McIntyre remained in control after the break until Jey blocked a white noise attempt and hit a sit-out powerbomb for two. They ended up outside again. McIntyre suplexed Jey on the floor, just a traditional suplex, and that led to a second commercial break. McIntyre drove Jey into the barricade. He drove him into the side of the ring. Jey fought back with a thrust kick, an uppercut, and a Samoan drop for two. Jey followed with a running hip attack in the corner, and then he went up top for the Uso splash when who should appear at ringside? Solo Sikoa. He's in the crowd, but there he is in the front row. And Jey ended up missing the splash. McIntyre hit a Future Shock DDT. But only got him two. And then we heard Cody Rhodes' music, and Cody runs down to the ring, and he ends up brawling with Solo through the crowd, so now Solo is out of the picture. McIntyre went for a Claymore kick. Jey caught him with three super kicks and a spear. Jey then got distracted by Jimmy Uso, who showed up at ringside next to where the announcers were. He just showed up again. That allowed McIntyre to hit the Claymore kick for the win, so yet another match that is ruined by Jey's brother. Jey Uso loses again thanks to his brother Jimmy. Jimmy grabbed a chair. Seth Rollins, though, sprinted to the ring. Here he is right here. And so Rollins is coming down to the ring, and he does this little slide into the ring, and he kicks the chair back into Jimmy's face. Rollins turns around, though. He ends up getting taken out by McIntyre. And a Claymore kick, so this is Seth. He turns around, and then boom, and down goes Seth, and his head came off, and blood splatters everywhere. I'm a big child. What am I doing? So McIntyre knelt down over Seth, and he encouraged him to do the right thing and stop getting involved with the bloodline as the show cut out while Michael Cole was in mid-sentence. Coal Tar. They cut Coal Tar off. I can't believe it. Now he's going to rain the wrath of all the gods down upon the people in the truck. You don't want to incur the wrath of Coal Tar. And that was Raw. That was Raw. The lasting memory of Raw will be Michael Cole wearing this. I may have to make that a super chat. We'll see. This will be the lasting image for Monday Night Raw tonight. You like my dramatic reenactment? Hey, I hope the producers of Dark Side of the Ring are watching this. I know they follow me, but I hope they're watching because, they have their own reenactments on Dark Side. Dark Side is back, by the way, tomorrow night, first episode on Earthquake. Going to review it on the podcast this weekend. So if they ever need somebody to help with the reenactments, man, we got Seth Rollins right here, right? We got R-Truth over here. We got all the different wrestlers represented, man. We got everybody. I can do the reenactments myself, on the cheap. It's very simple. I should use puppets to review the show. To do my reviews, I should use puppets. I don't know about that. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. I can do that. I could put the poll up. 50% give this show 4 stars tonight. I said, what did you think of Raw with Michael Cole and his antlers? 50%, 4 stars. 30% gave the show 3 stars. 8% give the show 2 stars. And 11% of you did not like Coal Tar and gave the show 1 star. 1 star Coal Tar. We're going to start calling him. 1 star for Coal Tar. I have no idea how I'm still awake. Well, you like that puppet idea, huh? What do you think this is? The Firefly Funhouse? What do you think I am? gonna make me go out and buy Lily the doll, and you'll have Lily the doll here on the screen. Then I'm gonna have to get Lamb Chop. We'll have Lamb Chop and we'll have Lily, and we'll do little puppet reenactments of everything on the show. So when Cody Rhodes comes out, we'll have Lamb Chop, right? We'll have Lamb Chop go like that. We'll do all the little mannerisms and everything. Sure, why not? All right, let's enough of that. Let's get to your super chats here. Shall we? Shall we? And I'm willing to bet that they're probably not all listed in that list. So let's check and see so I don't miss anybody here. Thank you, by the way, for those of you who did drop some love. I appreciate it. I appreciate it after my unexpected $900 starter for my fucking car. Bobby's World. There were some that did not pop up in the list. We'll start with these. Actually, we'll start with Prince Vegeta. Prince Vegeta 95. Thank you for the $4.99. What tag team that never won the belts would you have given a reign to? The Real Americans or Team Rhodes Scholars? Real Americans. Real Americans were building real momentum there at the end when they broke them up. Bobby's World, thank you for the $10. Bobby's World, best good old-fashioned suplex. You know what they used to call them back then? It wasn't suplex, it was souplet. You want to go old school, it's souplet. That's how they used to pronounce it. He said, my money's on the Hitman or DiBiase. Between this and the best Macho Man elbow question, you could tell I've watched some of the old school stuff lately. The old school stuff is the best stuff. I don't blame you. Brett, yeah, I'd say Brett or, you know what, Davey Boy. Davey Boy's delayed vertical suplex was always impressive. Orhan, face Seth doesn't work since the 2016 turn fell flat. You mean you don't enjoy Seth Rollins coming out on television wearing his wife's clothes? You don't enjoy that? This is not you. This doesn't scream top babyface to you? Come on. The human highlighter. Come on, man. Oh, we got Nick Grosso chiming in with the $9.99. See, it's weird. You see, his $4.99, which came after that, is on the list over here, but not the $9.99. Anyway, $9.99, he says, Seth's promo was so bad tonight. Who wrote that promo? Becky? The Rock is going to cook him this Friday. After tonight, Jay needs to show up this Friday, and he needs to be there when Roman falls. You know what? He should be there. Since Jimmy keeps sticking his nose in his business, he should be there. I agree. Yeah, I don't know, man. If he's going to come to SmackDown on Friday with that material, I think you're right. I think he's going to get fucking fried. Nick Grosso also dropped a $4.99 and said, congrats to the wise man Paul Heyman on his Hall of Fame induction. Who inducts him? Bully Ray, Roman Reigns, RVD, or maybe TNA lets Tommy Dreamer induct him. I said it earlier, I think it should be CM Punk. I think Punk would be the one to give the best speech. And if not Punk, I think you could do a combo of Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. Miguel, enjoy it, man. Bob Holly's book is a very good book. I reviewed it on the channel many years ago. I had Bob on. Actually, one of the best interviews I ever did, a 90-minute interview with Bob Holly many years ago. He didn't hold back. Talked about a lot of stuff. And I think his audiobook is on Audible. So I got a link if you want to get the book for free. You get one free book. I would recommend that book if you've never heard it before or read it before. Lord Frieza. Holy shit, I haven't heard that name in a while. Lord Frieza. Hope everything gets better for you, Solid Monster. Like most wrestling fans, I took a break from the product, but I'm here in time for WrestleMania season. It is good to have Lord Frieza back. Man, I haven't heard that name in a long time. Thank you, sir. Jerome Eugenio. Is there a lack of faces? Seem to be a lot of heel against heel matches. No, there's no lack of faces. There's a lack, maybe, of over faces in the mid-card. They're very top-heavy right now. You know, Cody and Seth and Jey Uso. So they have some big baby faces on top, and then on SmackDown, they've got Randy Orton, they've got Kevin Owens. But as far as the middle of the card on Raw, they have a lack of enough over baby faces right now. So that is a problem on the show. Now, I don't mind them doing heel versus heel every now and then, but it makes it weird for the audience if you do that too often because they just don't know who to cheer for. Chris Mikesell, pick one person from the Attitude Era to be a Heyman guy. Who would you pick that would benefit the most? Steve Blackman, Ken Shamrock, Kurgan, or Perry Saturn? I actually think Shamrock would have been the one. I think you bring Shamrock in the way they did at first as this badass from the Ultimate Fighting world, the world's most dangerous man. Shamrock's promos were not awful, but they weren't that good. And so you bring him in as a badass who just comes in and kills people and let Heyman do the talking for him. Heyman's the promoter, right? So let him put him over. I think Heyman and Shamrock, he could have gotten Shamrock over a lot bigger than WWE did. Mr. Andrew, it was nice of Rock to give Seth all his poop jokes that he was writing for the Roman feud. Don't worry, Solo, he will write more going into WrestleMania 41. Corey Hodgson, hey Solomonster, just got my ticket for the Hog Show in Boston. Will you be there? That is the plan. Technically, it's Lowell. It's Lowell, Massachusetts, but yes, I am planning on being there. I will be in Philadelphia on April 5th. I will be in Boston or Lowell. That's on May 25th. And we got some other stuff coming up, too, that will be announced, I'm sure, very, very soon. We are hitting the road. I'm going to have to work around that because I'm sure that's going to have an impact on my schedule. But we'll work it out. Retro KOH, piggybacking off your pitches regarding Stone Cold. Look at that super chat. That's eerie. Piggybacking off your pitches regarding Stone Cold returning and Rock forcing a cash in. I reiterate what I predicted last Friday. Priest chases in before. He means cashes in. He cashes in before WrestleMania, and Seth is kayfabe injured, unable to help Cody on night one. Yeah, but the problem is, they're not going to leave Seth Rollins off the WrestleMania card. If he's cleared and he's healed and he's ready to go, he's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. So he can't be so injured that he's not cleared for night one, but he wrestles on night two. And there's no way you're going to keep this man off that show. Like, he won't allow it. You're just not going to keep him off the show. But if something were to happen where, again, he was taken out before the tag match, Cody now had no partner. Look, you got Rock on one side. I'm just saying. Austin looked pretty good when he came back in that singles match against Kevin Owens. So the idea of Austin coming back again and doing a tag match, and you got Austin on one side and you got Rock on the other. One last time, Austin and Rock. Sign me up, man. I'd love that. HBKC83, after WrestleMania, should the road for Roman lead to being a babyface? Absolutely. I mean, I told you. I've been saying for the longest time he's going to be a huge babyface at the end of all this bloodline stuff. Hey, Lynn, or whoever is using Lynn's account, thank you. It's Lynn's son. The Real CS02. Yeah, Jamel knows that's a fucking great idea. Fucking great. Fans would go nuts for it. Jamel doesn't like having fun. That's okay. That's why you got me here, and that's why you are you're over there. The Real CS, does WWE own most of Sting's career footage? Yes. Because most of his career footage is from WCW. The NWA stuff, the stuff with Flair, the stuff with Vader, the stuff with Rude, the Crow's Thing stuff from the NWO, they own it all. They own it all. Retro KOH, non-wrestling question, condolences for the car. How many times has it ever been recalled? My old Chevy got recalled 6 times. I did not even get anything to drive in the interim. I don't know that it's ever been recalled. Maybe once many years ago. I mean, it's an 18-year-old car, so. But it still runs. I mean, it still runs well. It's just, you know, I had a new battery put in 2 months ago. Charged me $400 for a battery and labor. And some of the terminals were corroded. So that was $400. And 2 months later, you know, I'm going to start the car, and again, it doesn't start. And I'm like, what the fuck? So they said, oh yeah, it's the starter. So on the one hand, it's like, you got this older car, and now I've sank over $1,300 in the last 3 months into this fucking machine. I don't know. Hopefully that will fix the problem. Let us hope that fixes the problem. I'm not happy, though. I am not a happy camper. Ted Evans, I need a bedtime story to sleep. What does Rock think? What am I, a clown? I'm going to amuse you and give you the sound effect just because you asked for it? Is that what you think? I don't operate that. You want to ask The Rock, you can ask The Rock yourself. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to tell you.
Fuck your story.
There you go. Bryant Becerra with the $32 super chat. Jamel, I'm just having fun with you. I was there live tonight, so I enjoyed it very much. Again, that was the one that Bryant dropped earlier. Bryant is always with us. Bryant is always supporting, you know, even through PayPal on the main show. So, Bryant, thank you. Alex, Brother Solo, has there been any episode of Raw or SmackDown that were so painful to watch that you either did not finish the episode or almost refused to do a review on it? Yes. That would be the worst episode in Raw history. You can actually find the review of it on this very channel. Raw is garbage. I think the thumbnail has, I think it's Kofi Kingston or Big E or something. I mean, with like a trash can. It's got over 100,000 views. It was fucking terrible. I think it was 2018. Just awful. Just horrendous television. Base Beerus, God of Seduction, says, these HD cameras are pretty immersive. I often wonder what those Attitude Era crowds and signs would have looked like in HD. You wouldn't have been able to see anything. There were so many signs. It would just be signs. You wouldn't even be able to see people's faces. Retro KOH, who wore the antlers better, Cole or Sheamus? Cole. The antlers almost ruined Sheamus' career. He won King of the Ring and then he just became a joke. Base Beerus says, Prince Vegeta, Lord Frieza, and God Beerus. Yeah, we got a lot of characters on here. Alex says, what are your thoughts on Triple H letting his top stars have further freedom to give unscripted promos rather than predictable and formulaic scripts? Well, I don't know. We have Seth Rollins on the show tonight talking about Diarrhea Dwayne. If that was his idea, maybe it was a bad idea to let the talent get too much freedom. When you give them too much freedom, you get stuff like Diarrhea Dwayne. It has 148,000. Oh, see, it went up even more. Last I checked, it had like 100,000. Now it's almost 150,000. Yeah, people, I was not in a good mood that night. And I don't think people were either. So they were listening very intently as I dissected that show. But I'm grateful that Raw is nowhere near as bad as it used to be back then. You know, all those complaints about Vince McMahon and everything, people think, oh, you know, it's just people piling on Vince and making a bigger deal of it than they should have. It's not really that bad. Fuck that. No, it was bad. It was bad. I sat here every single week and I watched that show. It was horrendous. And the show is much better off for it without him there. Darth Panic. Do you think we will ever get a brick-and-mortar WWE Hall of Fame or museum? Something similar to Cooperstown or Canton. If done correctly, I think it would be a big hit. I think if Endeavor thinks they can make money off of it, yes. The reason they haven't done it up to this point is because I think a lot of those things are not money makers. And if they're not going to make money off of it, then they're not going to invest in building something like that. I do think there will be a physical museum or Hall of Fame at some point. I don't know how big it'll be. I don't know if it will be in a major tourist destination. Something like Orlando would make a lot of sense, though, because, you know, you have a lot of tourist attractions in Orlando, and you have the Performance Center is down there. Maybe you could tie it into the Performance Center in some way. I think eventually if we get something like that, that's probably where it's going to end up being. Love Lie. Solo is the heir to the throne, according to Roman Reigns. As such, what plans or changes do you hope to implement once you become the tribal chief? Well, you know, I haven't given that too much thought yet. What my reign is going to look like. I was quite surprised, though, when Roman did say that Solo was the heir apparent to be the tribal chief. I'm very grateful for that. I have to give that some thought, though, because I guess I should start thinking about that. The Juliet says, Darby only needed 12 stitches. Well, you know what that means. That means he's going to be very disappointed and he's going to have to do something even crazier to top it. Of all the things I saw last night, as much as I loved that main event, that was the stupidest fucking thing on that entire show. And here's the other thing about the Darby glass spot last night. As I look back on the match, it didn't even play into the finish. It didn't play into anything. Nothing. It was an excuse to get Darby out of the picture for a while, but you could have done that doing any spot. It didn't really lead to anything. He just did it because he wanted to do something really dangerous, and I think that's really fucking dumb. And, you know, to me, that's where you have a Tony Khan who has to step up and say, look, you know, we're not going to do that tonight. But I think he loves it. I think Tony Khan loves that kind of shit, so he just kind of steps back and gives them carte blanche to do whatever they want to do. But so it didn't ruin the match for me. I thought the match was fantastic, and it was a great send-off for Sting. But that spot was completely unnecessary and completely stupid. The Dada and Boys podcast, end of night one, Bloodline standing tall over Cody and Seth, and Rock waves down Priest for the cash-in. Night two, triple threat, Drew wins. Yeah, very possible. That's why I keep bringing up Rock being the one to, you know, kind of command Priest or pave the way for him to cash in. And then Rock is delivering on his promise. He said, I can make your title go away like that and give it to somebody else. And there you go. Damian Priest ends up with it. Base Beerus. Your overall ratings for Roman, Cody, Seth, Rock. 2K14. 2K14. I don't know what you're talking about. Overall ratings? I have no idea. Uffman says, I'm betting Rock gave that line to Seth to say. Trying to sabotage this man now. As if they haven't already sabotaged Rollins enough by burying him and burying the World Heavyweight title. Now they're going to feed him bad lines to use on TV. Rock truly is the ultimate heel. Oh, man. There you go. I think that's everybody. Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody, but... Yeah, don't forget, Darby is supposed to climb Mount Everest. He says he leaves on March 27th to climb the most dangerous mountain in the world. I'm sure that'll end well. All right, so we got them all. We got them all. And we are at 440 likes, so thank you for that. Appreciate it. Keep hitting that thumbs up. Hey, JM, shout out to JM, one of our gold skulls. He's a Sound Off legend, a member for 29 months. Good morning from Europe. How are you doing? I've had better days. But how about JM chiming in all the way from Europe? Very cool. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Let's be the booker here because I am very tired and I have to wake up early again in the morning, so I'm not going to get much sleep, but I guess I'll sleep when I'm dead. Hey, Creflo Half Dollar, I'm surprised Rock hasn't said constipated Cody. Give it time. There's still a few weeks. Constipated Cody and Diarrhea Dwayne. We begin here with the Great Muta and Vampiro, who were tag team champions at one point in WCW. Muta and Vampiro. I remember when I found that image, I was like, what is this? I had no memory of them being tag team champions before. Muta and Vampiro going to be taking on the Head Shrinkers. There you go. Anything with the Great Muta in it, come on, man. It's almost an automatic bell. Head Shrinkers against Vampiro and Muta. I like that match. All right, women's be the booker here. Kick things off with Trish Stratus. WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus did an interview recently and said that she considers her cage match with Becky Lynch to be the best match of her career. It's definitely up there. I think she may be right. I still am partial to her match with Mickie James at WrestleMania 22, but that cage match probably, objectively, probably was the better of the two matches. Trish Stratus one-on-one with Sable. Well, you know, in terms of star power, and Sable was a former women's champion at one time, I'll give that the bell. Sable, at one point, was one of the biggest stars in the entire business for a period of time. And Trish, obviously, you know, she was a big star at one point, and I think Trish is good enough where, you know, she could probably make a decent match out of it. I'm looking at it from a star power perspective. If I was going to book a match on my show, Trish and Sable, I think, would sell some tickets. All right, let's book a main event. Let's book a main event here. Yikes. You say yikes about that match? Well, I feel bad about how things went last night. Didn't go well last night on Be the Booker, so being a little more generous here. All right, we begin with Kane. This is original Kane. This is not Demon Kane from the end of his career, or Seaman Kane, or Corporate Kane, Libertarian Kane. This is the real deal right here. This is the guy that ripped the Hell in a Cell door off of its hinges. And now we get Kane going to go one-on-one with who? Let's find out. Kane against Powerhouse Hobbs. Doing something a little different there. Playing a little music. You know what I notice here in this image with Hobbs? His gear, right? That looks like a flame. It's almost like he's got Kane gear on, like a Kane singlet on here. Just notice that. Kane and Powerhouse Hobbs. There you go. So I do believe that was a clean sweep. A nice little rebound after the debacle of last night's installment during the Revolution review. Meat Madness, there you go. That's our version of Meat Madness. Kane and Powerhouse Hobbs. Harlem Heat. Yeah, I guess that does remind me more of the Harlem Heat gear. Creflo says, to all the men that want to see me, and the women that want to be me, are you boys ready for the grind? That was Sable's catchphrase for all the men who came to see me. Get it? And all the women that want to be me. All right, so that takes care of Monday Night Raw. Now we move on to Wednesday night, where I will be live for the post-Revolution edition of Dynamite, where Will Ospreay is supposed to wrestle Kyle Fletcher, that is, if he is medically cleared, which he may not be, has that nasty bruise on his lower back, and then a big SmackDown coming up on Friday. Friday night's the big night, because we got Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth. And so we'll be here live for that. And of course, if you missed episode 851 of the Sound Off with all the Revolution stuff going on, some people may have missed it, 2 hours plus. Make sure you check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go try to get some sleep if I can. And come on back on Wednesday night, and we'll go live and we'll talk Dynamite. So until then, have yourselves a good night. Thank you for all the love, and I'll see you on Wednesday night. Take care, guys.